wildfires, the many things that are going on. Of course, we want to be praying about that. And then today, of course, President Trump making the proclamation that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And I was fortunate enough to view just a few bits of that on the internet when he did that. And the thing is that I always thought that Jerusalem was the eternal capital of Jerusalem. Amen. And matter of fact, one day it will be the capital of the kingdom age of the entire world. Amen. So we give thanks to the Lord, and we also want to be praying for peace, the peace of Jerusalem, especially now. Amen. On another note, just a reminder that, you know, last Wednesday night, it was our communion and our prayer night and so forth. That morning, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I felt that he wanted us to have a prayer service where we prayed for those who were sick. That's why I taught out of James 5, 14 and 15. I never call for corporate prayer like that, let's say a prayer line, if you will, unless the Lord tells me to do so. We always have elders at the altar. They can anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. But whenever the Lord moves upon my heart to do so, I know there's usually something significant that he wants to do. So I just want to share this report from you, you know, from Anna, because before the prayer time happened, a week or so before that, she had gone to the hospital or the doctor's office where they had did x-rays, and they had found several masses and so forth. So she went back after the prayer time that we had, and the doctors couldn't find any masses at all. So, you know, the Lord is good, amen? And I don't know what else the Lord did that night, but I know that he's always doing something. We should pray one for another that we should be healed, amen? Now, with all that being said, let's go to the Lord now tonight in prayer. Father, we just lift up tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for Anna, and Lord, you touching her body. And we know there are other areas that, Lord, need to be touched as well. We pray for that continued healing to continue now. Lord, we lift up Ken Fuse to you that had that operation today. Lord, just be with him, touch his life, be there with Catherine as well. And Lord, we lift up Patrick with the loss of his brother John, as we've been praying for him so many times in our prayer times on Saturday. And Lord, just be and comfort his heart and comfort the family. And we also pray tonight for Danielle, who is ill, just to, Lord, bless her and heal up her body as well. Give her tremendous rest, as I know she needs it. And Lord, for the poor families in California, the horrible fires that are just occurring, we just pray somehow, some way, Lord God, that they would be just completely removed and put out. Be and comfort the families, especially during the Christmas season, Lord. And we give thanks to our country, to our president, Lord, for making or proclaiming to the world that Jerusalem is indeed the capital of Israel. And it always has been, and it always will be. The land belongs to the Lord God. We're so thankful for that. So we pray tonight for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord, and that this retaliation that they're speaking of, that let it come to nothing. And Lord, just bless them now and bless us tonight in your word in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 2 Kings. We're in chapter 16. 2 Kings chapter 16. It seems like we have been struggling to get through 2 Kings forever and ever. And I was so tempted to just go through and say, you know what, I'm going to cover four chapters tonight and just kill the sheep with it. You know what I mean? But I didn't, praise the Lord. And but tonight, the title I'm going to talk to you, and the title tonight is Emmanuel. Say that with me, Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Don't forget that, okay? So we're following the sad history of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, the divided nations, or the divided kingdom, if you will. We are so near now of Israel. Of course, chapter 17, 18, the northern kingdom will be going into Assyrian captivity, and then it won't be long, and then, of course, Judah will go into Babylonian captivity. Remember that we left off last time with Uzziah, who was the eighth king of Israel. And he was a tremendous man. He was a gifted military leader. He, during his reign, Judah excelled greater in prosperity than the days of King Solomon. And during this reign, we can see how they, this prosperity, how they forgot the Lord thy God. Now, King Ahaz, who we're going to look at tonight, is the grandson of Uzziah. And so when we look at him tonight, we're also going to be introduced to Isaiah the prophet as he comes on the scene. Remember in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah was given a vision of the Lord there in the holy temple and so forth. So with all that being said, out of all of the kings of Judah, remember Israel never had a good king. Judah had a few good kings. This guy is the lowest of the low. I mean, he is horrible. He's one of the most repulsive kings of Judah. Let's begin now in chapter 16, verse 1. It says, in the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. And Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David had done, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Remember, he's the king of Judah, so he's now walking in the ways of the king of Israel. Indeed, he made his son pass through the fire according to the abomination of the nations whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high hills and the high places under every green tree. In other words, he was a full-fledged idolater. Ahaz, the king of Judah, in the line of David, okay? He walked in the ways of the king of Israel, which meant he worshiped the calves. Remember the golden calves set up in Dan and Bethel. He also worshiped Baal as well. And he would worship literally anything that would prevent his enemies from succeeding and defeating him. He would trust everyone except the living God. Now, he was not only apostate, but he took Judah to the terrible lowest place that sin could bring a person. And let me tell you how wicked the king Ahaz, the king of Judah, was. It says in 2 Chronicles 28:3, it says, and Ahaz burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Now, these nations, remember the seven nations that God told the children of Israel, when you go into the promised land, you destroy all seven of these nations. And it would have been the Hivites, the Girgashites, and the Ammonites, and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jezebites, the Jezebels, I don't know who they were, all of them. All of those seven nations, if you want to do a study, they all practice the sins that were listed in Leviticus chapter 18, all right? That means that King Ahaz practiced all those sins as well. But this was so wicked what he did. There at the Valley of Hinnom, which is outside the wall of Jerusalem, which was a trash dump, if you will. All the refuge and all the stuff was placed there. Dead bodies were even sometimes put there. And it was a place of continuous burning. Well, what he did, he took his children and laid his children in the red hot arms of Molech. Remember? Sacrifice them. It was so wicked in that area that the trumpeters would come in and play as loud as they could to drown out the screams of the children as they were being sacrificed. So that is the kind of man we are dealing with tonight. And it says in verse 5, then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, they came up to Jerusalem to make war, and they besieged Ahaz, but they could not overcome him. And the reason that they couldn't was not because of his military might or strength. It was because of God's unbelievable, incredible grace. It says in 2 Chronicles 28:5-6, it tells us that God brought this judgment upon Judah. And it says, and the king of Israel, who was fighting against him, it says, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all the valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and he was certainly a recompense because of that. Now, verse 5 is the most important verse in all of our verses that we have in chapter 16. I'll come back to that in a moment. And at that time, Rezin, a king of Syria, captured Elath for Syria, drove the men of Judah from Elath, and then the Edomites who went to Elath, they dwell there to this day. And so Ahaz sent messenger to Tiglath-Pileser. Boy, isn't that a wonderful word to pronounce? And of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up, save me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel, who rise up against me. So Ahaz, look what he did now. He took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house, and he sent it to the king of Assyria as a present to him. So the king of Assyria heeded him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus. He took it, and he carried its people captive to Kir and killed Rezin. That's the king of Assyria. Now, instead of asking God for help, he loots the temple and gives it to the king of Assyria for, and it says, help me as a present. In verse 10, and now King Ahaz went to, or literally he journeyed to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser. Now that meaning, I think he considered him almost his savior, if you will, the king of Assyria. And he saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah, the priest, of the design of the altar and its pattern according to all its workmanship. And then Urijah, the priest, built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent him from Damascus. And so the priest made it before the king, and King Ahaz came back from Damascus. So this shows us the incredible apostasy of the priesthood. There was no resistance on his part. He didn't even think about disobeying King Ahaz at all. And he says, and when the king came back from Damascus, the king saw the altar. The king approached the altar. The king made offerings on it, mean on this idolatrous Assyrian altar. So he burned his burnt offerings and his grain offerings, and he poured drink offerings and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings on the altar. He also brought the bronze altar, which was before the Lord, from the front of the temple, from between the new altar of the house of the Lord, and he put it on the north side of the new altar. That's unbelievable that he did this. He rearranged the furniture, if you will, there in the temple, and he removed the bronze altar of offering, and he removed it and put the new altar in a very prominent place so all could see it. And then King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, on the great new altar, burn the morning offering. Now that would have been a lamb, remember? And the evening grain offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice, and his grain offering, and the burnt offering of all the people of the land, their grain offering, their drink offerings, and sprinkle it all the blood of the burnt offerings and the blood of the sacrifice. And the bronze altar shall be for me, meaning for him alone, to inquire by. Now, he's obviously seeking guidance, but he certainly, I don't believe for an instant, he's seeking guidance from the Lord. He was probably practicing what the seven nations practice, and also Assyria, that they would, you know, cut open an animal and look at the entrails and so forth and do a reading and so forth. And so thus did Urijah the priest, according to all King Ahaz commanded, and King Ahaz cut off the panels of the carts. Remember, if you go back to, I think it's Exodus. I think it's in also 1 Kings, if I remember correctly. But remember on the panels, what in the gold there, what was engraved? It was the oxen and the lions and the cherubims and so forth. So it was beautiful works of art. And he removed the lavers from them, and look what else he did. He took down the sea of the bronze oxen that were under it and put it on a pavement of stone. Remember that the sea, huge, it was supported by 12 oxen with their faces looking outward, okay? So you had 3 oxen looking east, 3 west, 3 north, and 3 south, and the sea had set upon. He removed all of that. And he removed the Sabbath pavilion, which they had built in the temple, and that was probably like maybe a canopy or a shade that whenever the king and his entourage came with him, it would protect them from the sun when he visited the temple. And he removed the king's outer entrance from the house of the Lord. And that was a special ramp only used by the king to enter into the temple. And it says, and he did all of this. Look at this now. On account of the Lord thy God? No, on account of the king of Assyria. Now listen, this man turned the temple of the Lord into a temple filled with idols. He literally mutilated the temple, if you will, and he stripped the house of God. He arranged all the new altar and all of that on account of one reason. So he did not want to offend the king of Assyria. So here we look at this, and Assyria now had not only all of Judah's, or most of Judah's money, most just all of Judah's loyalty, especially King Ahaz, but they were worshiping their gods. And so this King Ahaz is going to leave his wicked legacy, if you will, to his son, King Hezekiah, which is the good king. We'll study him out. But in verse 19, now the rest of the acts of Ahaz, which he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Ahaz rested with his fathers and was buried in the fathers in the city of David. Now, he wasn't buried with the kings, okay? The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 28 that he wasn't buried in the royal tombs, but outside of that area. And then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place. Now, just a few comments about this man before we make application tonight. You know, he reigned for 16 years, and it was one of the most evil reigns on record of any of the kings of Judah. Not only that, his son Hezekiah, he was a great king and a good king, and he loved the Lord, and he did the things that were pleasing in his sight, and he's going to, as we'll learn later on, he'll clean up Ahaz's mess. But then Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, man, he was horrible. And then Manasseh's son, Amnon, those two guys were so wicked, it was worse under their reigns than it was under Ahaz. Now, with all that being said, it's very important we see something tonight. Ahaz, number one, he had absolutely no love. He had no respect for the temple of God or the things that were in the temple. He had absolutely no love for the people of God. He didn't even love his own children. He put them in the fire. He sacrificed them alive. And not only that, he had absolutely no love for God. And you know what he did to the nation of Judah? Listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles 28, 19. And it says, for the Lord humbled Judah. Lo, and here's why, because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 28:22. Now, in time of his distress, King Ahaz became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. This is that King Ahaz, for he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which had defeated him, saying, because of the gods of Assyria, they will help me. I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they didn't help him. Listen to what they did to him. But they were of ruin of him and the ruin of all of Israel, meaning the entire nation, Judah, the northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom as well. You know, it says, in times of his distress, he became increasingly unfaithful to the Lord. You know, we're all going to go through things in our life, amen? In times of your distress, in times of my distress, who do you turn to? Boy, that is a very important question. And I pray that if you, anytime you go through anything in your life, any kind of trouble, you always turn to the Lord God. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen? Don't look for any other avenue, any other way out. It says in 2 Chronicles 28, 24 about Ahaz. Listen carefully now. Ahaz gathered all the articles of the house of God. And listen to what he did. He cut in pieces the articles of the house of God. He shut up the doors, or he nailed them shut, if you will, the doors of the house of the Lord. and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem and in every single city of Judah. He made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. So he cut all the articles of the furniture and all that up for a reason. So the priest couldn't use it to offer anything on, any sacrifices to God. He nailed the door shut so the people could not come in and worship the living God. Now, you may be saying by now, Bill, why in the world did you title your sermon Emmanuel? Well, I hope you paid attention because that's exactly what I titled it, and it's a very important reason. You see, now that we have a picture of King Ahaz, I want you to see something that most of the time is maybe overlooked by many of us about this man, and that is God's incredible grace that was extended to him. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I read about him, I don't even want to think about a person like that. Would you? I mean, can you imagine a covenant man, a covenant woman taking your own children, you know, being and saying that you belong to Almighty God and sacrificing them to a demon idol, hearing the screams of your own child? I mean, I think about that. What kind of man is this? You remember I told you back in 2 Kings 16:5 that verse 5 is a very important verse, and it's a key to our text. And the reason that it is that it's going to be repeated in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1, and that's where I'd like for you to turn right now, if you would. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. Let's turn to him, because this is going to be one of the most prophetic announcements the world has ever heard. And let's look at Isaiah 7 again now, or look at it, verse 1. Now it came to pass, what he's going to do here is repeat what we just what I just said in 2 Kings 16, verse 5. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel. Remember, they had made that alliance. Now they went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, against King Ahaz, and to prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, serious forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart, meaning King Ahaz, his heart and the heart of all of Judah, watch this, they were moved as the trees of the woods were moved with the wind. In other words, they were trembling with fear. They didn't know what to do. I mean, they were stressed to the limit. So what did God do to this wicked, one of the most wicked kings that ever ruled in Judah? He's going to offer his grace, and he's going to send Isaiah the prophet. Look at verse 3. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, that's his son, okay? And meet him at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed, be quiet, do not fear, or be faint-hearted. You know what? If you ever needed a word from God today, that's for you. Amen? Right now. Not only today, but in 2018 as well. And look what God goes on to say through Isaiah. For these two stubs, don't you love the way the Lord talks? Talking about the two kings here that are coming against King Ahaz, Syria and Israel. He says, these two stubs of smoking firebrands. In other words, they're just a couple of old stumps. And they're just smoking. The fire's gone out. They don't have any power. They don't have any strength. He says, listen, he says, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, the son of Remaliah, you know, he says, it's over with. Listen, that's God's word for us. It's God's word for you as well. Listen, God, believe it or not, can you believe that he is bringing comfort to a man who had been sacrificing his children in the fire? Think about that. God is extending his grace to this man. And you know what? He extends grace to us as well. May I say to you, whatever your circumstance is tonight, or maybe this week, or whenever one does arise, loved one, listen to me. It's nothing but a smoking stump. That's all it is. You know, wherever the Lord leads us, He is always leading us in victory. Amen? It may not feel like it. It may not even look like it. But He always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. The Bible is very clear. In our circumstances, feelings, for example, maybe tonight you are so discouraged. You know, discouragement can come on you just like that. I mean, you can wake up in the morning and say everything is fine. You can have your prayer time. Everything seems great. You can walk out of your prayer closet to go get your morning coffee. And from the time from your prayer closet to where you get your cup of coffee, if you haven't had one already, all of a sudden it's like an attack can hit you. Your mind, it's like a discouragement can come and just settle in right on you. It's amazing when those things happen. You can't let that stay upon you. You can't let that dwell upon you. You have to cast out that thing immediately from your thinking. If not, it'll keep you discouraged all day long. You listening to me? You take it from the old man, because I know exactly what I'm talking about right now. I know what it can do to us. But you know what it is? Whenever things like that hit you and come upon you, it's just a smoking stump. It's a smoke screen. It's trying to hide the next blessing that God is sending your way, or the next open door that God is sending your way. Man, listen, don't buy into it. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen. Oh, listen, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Listen now, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And I love this part. And their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. That is a great scripture. Listen, we're going to have persecutions. We're going to have distresses. We're going to have things come against us in this life. But the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Amen? We have to always remember that and renew our mind to those things. Verse 5, it says, because Syria and Ephraim, now remember Ephraim, that's Israel, that's the northern kingdom. It says, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you. He's speaking to King Ahaz, saying, let us go up against Judah. Let us trouble it. Let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves and set a king over them. And then they said, how about the son of Tabal? In other words, he was just making find us a puppet king, in other words, to rule. So that was the plan of Syria and the plan of Israel against Judah. But now God's plan is totally different. And He says in verse 7, and thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, meaning their plan. He's talking to Ahaz, nor shall it ever come to pass. So God is saying that these two kings, they're as good as dead. Don't even worry about it. They're only good for firewood. Nothing's going to happen. For the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim, now that's the northern kingdom, will be broken, and so it will be not a people. Now, that's going to happen the next in chapter 17 and 18, when in 722 BC, Assyria is going to come in and take the northern kingdom off into captivity. Now, the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. Now, listen, if you will not believe, Isaiah speaking forth from the Spirit of God, if you will not believe King Ahaz, surely you'll not be established. So right there, God's grace is giving this man, the hour of decision. In other words, Ahaz, are you going to seek salvation? Are you going to be saved by the politics? Are you going to be saved by these unholy alliances that you're making? You know, or are you just going to simply trust in the promises of God? All that God was asking this wicked king to do was just believe Him. Did you know that's all God is asking us to do? Is just simply believe. You see, if we won't believe the promises of God, we're in trouble just like King Ahaz. You see, it says, if we do not believe God's promises in times of trouble, that's what this verse is speaking of, we will not be established. We'll not be established today. We'll not be established tomorrow. And we will certainly not be a people established in 2018. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3 that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, and tells us why. Because we trust in you. trust in the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. The just shall live by faith. You know, listen, the Bible tells us, King Solomon in Proverbs, what did he tell us in Proverbs, 3, 5, and 6? He said, trust, rely on, cling to, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your paths. Boy, that's what I need. I need, Lord, direct my paths. Be my guide wherever I go. Tell me to turn to the right. Tell me to turn to the left. And all that Ahaz had to do is do one thing. He just had to believe the promises of God. And yet, his heart is so hard. He is so wicked. You know what he does? He continues in unbelief. And so what does God do? Wipe him out? No. God, in his grace, speaks a word to this wicked king again. Have you ever noticed how many chances God always gives us? Over and over. This guy is, he's bad, man. He's bad news. Now, look what he says in verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, and listen to this now. Ask a sign for yourself. And look, watch. From the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. You know what? That is one of the greatest offers ever given in the Old Testament. I will do any, God says, I'll do any sign that you ask. I'll do anything to convince you of the truth of my word. Is that an unbelievable offer? Just ask, no matter what it is. Look, why do you say that, Bill? Well, look what he says. Go as high in asking as you desire. He says, go as deep in asking as you can. You know, the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and all that we can think according to the power of the Holy Spirit who is working in us. Amen? I mean, think of that for a minute. Just go as deep as you want to. Just ask anything, Ahaz. Listen, that's all he had to do was believe. God is speaking to the man who cut up all the furniture in the temple, who nailed the doors of the temple shut. Think about this. He's saying, just believe me. You know, I tell you that God is not willing that any should perish. Do you understand? Not anyone. But that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. They all come and repent. And I look at it and I say, oh, Ahaz, man, what is your problem? And look at this. And Ahaz said, oh, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. No, Ahaz, you will not trust the Lord. You understand? No, that's what he was doing. He said, you know, no, I won't do those things. He's the biggest hypocrite in the Old Testament. I look at that and I say, dear Lord, it's one thing not to believe God, but to refuse a pro-offered a sign or whatever you want to call it. Just ask me. I mean, God says, here, do it, and I'll prove it to you right now. And he doesn't do it. He does not believe. He refused to believe. He refused to trust God, even though he was surrounded by his enemies. And instead of trusting God, remember what he did? He looted the temple. He took the gold. He took the silver. And he gave it as a present to the king of Assyria. Unbelievable what this man did. And then he said to him in verse 13, hear now, God says, O house of David, it's a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? So he refuses to believe. God says, any sign you want. And now because of that, look what happens. He misses one of the greatest prophecies ever given to man. Watch this. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Speaking to King Ahaz. So in other words, this sign is no longer an invitation. It's a prediction now. He says, oh, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A verse that we know very well. Christmas is here. He says, behold, the virgin. Did you catch that? Not a virgin, but the virgin, specific person. A specific virgin, if you will, shall conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name what? Emmanuel, God with us. Now, When it says here the virgin, the word here is Alma in the Hebrew language, which means a young woman. But, you know, the thing is, if it is a young woman here, it can't be a sign. The reason, and not a virgin, the reason I say that is it a sign for a woman to have a baby? No, but it is a sign for a virgin. Amen. Do you see what the difference there? Boy, now for a virgin to conceive. Now, that is what you call a sign. Now, listen very carefully. This is what you call an immediate prophecy and a future prophecy, okay? And so forth. You see, it's a fulfillment of verse 14. There's going to be a fulfillment, but it is not the fulfillment. If we studied out all of Isaiah, we'd find that Isaiah had a wife over in, I think it's chapter 8, and that's what he was talking about there. She was pregnant. She's going to have a baby. And this would be proof that God was with Judah and that God was going to rescue them. But we also know that it had the future fulfillment in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is Emmanuel. Amen? Now listen, it says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the Lord by his prophet Isaiah, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us," meaning the virgin birth. This is John 1:14. This is when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember what the angel told Joseph and Mary. It says, Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son," not a daughter, a son, "and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." I'm so thankful we've been saved from our sins tonight. Amen? Oh, they're washed away. They're as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says in John, 1 John 5, it says, "You know that he was manifested to take away our sins." He's taken all of our sins away. Now look at verse 16. It says, "For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings," speaking of Israel and Assyria here. So in other words, before the child, this would be speaking now of Isaiah's wife's child. He said, before he's even weaned, both these kings are going to be eliminated. God says, "This is a sign I'm giving you. And the Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house. And the days that have not come since the day of Ephraim," that's the northern kingdom, "departed from Judah." So in other words, he's saying now, let me just tell you, Israel, meaning the whole nation, Judah and the Israel and the southern kingdom, it's going to be the worst days that you have ever experienced. And boy, the captivity was horrifying. The things that happened when, as we'll learn in 24 and 25 of 2 Kings, when Nebuchadnezzar levels Jerusalem. In verse 18, it says, "And it'll come to pass in that day that the Lord will whistle for the fly." Don't you love the Word of God? Whistle for the fly. I've never whistled for a fly, have you? He says, "And that in the farthest parts of the river of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria, they will come, and all of them will rest in the desolate valleys and the clefts of the rocks, and all the thorns and all the pastures. And in that day the Lord will shave with a hired razor." That's speaking of Ahaz hiring, giving the king of Assyria all that money out of the, and so forth, paying them off. "And with those from beyond the river, with the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the legs, and also the removal of the beard," meaning it's going to be a time of humiliation. It's going to be a time of horrible, horrible distress. And then Isaiah goes on to tell Ahaz, he said, "All this land, this rich farmland that you see, it's going to be covered with thorns and briars. It's going to be, it's never going to be cultivated again. It's going to become a complete wasteland." All of this could have been avoided had the leaders of that nation just trusted the Lord. The horrible suffering. Do you know, listen, leaders can get a nation in a lot of trouble. You know that? And we pay for it. And that's exactly what happened to the southern kingdom. That's exactly what's happening to the northern kingdom as well. Listen, loved one, I tell you, if we don't trust God's word, if we don't believe God's word, you know what happens? Our lives become a wasteland just like the land of Israel. Our heart becomes choked out or whatever with the weeds and the thorns, and it crowds out the word of God. just like it did here. Listen, we want to always trust the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. Did you know he is with us right now? He is with us and he'll never leave us. He will never forsake us. Now listen, before I close, I want to speak to you. If you were discouraged tonight, the second time I've mentioned that, if you were discouraged tonight, loved one, listen. Tell that discouragement in the name of Jesus, the one who died for you, the one who loves you, the one who is coming for us. You tell that discouragement to get away from you. You know, discouragement means lack of courage. It takes away our courage. It takes away our stamina. Discouragement is a thief. Discouragement is a dart from the wicked one. It says above all, taking up the shield of what? Faith. Why? By which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'll tell you what, I know this morning, when I use myself as an example, I walked from my prayer room to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee. I'd finished my prayer time, and I was finished. It was a good time of prayer. It was dark. I like it. It's quiet. And I swear to you, I walked from that kitchen, my prayer room to the kitchen, and everything was great. But the moment I walked into that kitchen, a discouragement came upon my heart that I have not experienced in years. I'm not complaining or any of those. I'm sharing. The first thing I said to myself, you better take up the shield of faith right now. You better turn and hold it up. Take up. That's a command. That's something you have to do. Do you understand? The Lord's not going to do it for you. He's already given it to you. Does that make sense? You have to take up the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench all, not 50%, not just a few, all the fiery darts of the wicked one, discouragement, a hurt and pain and all the rest of it, and doubt, and I'm not going to make it, and you're never going to get through. Your prayer's never going to be answered. You know, I hear that all the time. Your prayer's not going to, I guess it is. I said, you don't know anything. I don't talk. You know what I'm saying? God knows everything. God, it says he delights in the prayers of the saints. He delights in your praying. If you're discouraged tonight, don't walk out of here discouraged. I'm telling you, you stand up and pick up that shield of faith and say no more. And all of a sudden, when you do that, that dart is coming, and all it does, it just extinguishes it. It puts it all out. Above everything, taking up that shield. Boy, listen, the just shall live by faith. That's the only way to make it in this life, is to trust the living word of God. Amen. So, Father, tonight, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, that we know that your promises never fail us. And I pray for those, maybe there's no one here tonight, I don't know, that's discouraged, but I know that attack. And if they attack me, they're attacking my brothers and sisters. I pray tonight, by your grace, by your goodness, by your mercy, by your promises unending, by your unfailing love. O Lord, the one who cannot lie. O Lord, your promises are unchangeable. They are immutable, and they belong to us. Lord, I know how the wicked one attacks the minds of your loved ones, trying to put in doubt and unbelief, and I'm not going to get that job, or I don't know where I'm going to turn next, or, oh, this discouragement, why is it even trying to rest upon me? And the devil says, oh, it's because God doesn't love you, or whatever, Lord, you know how it works. But tonight, oh, Lord, smother your people. Smother them, Lord. Take their breath away with your incredible love. Let assurance so fill their hearts and fill their thinking and their minds that discouragement has no room to operate. Let their hearts and minds be flooded with your precious promises. And let their heart, oh God, crowd out every emotion that would steal hope. I pray you touch them. I pray you touch them right this minute. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We adore you, Emmanuel. Our God is with us. Our Savior is present. There's no one like you. We pray and ask all this with a believing heart, and we do so in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we? God is good. Great things are coming. Amen. 2018, I met yesterday with Harvest America here. We had a luncheon and wonderful, wonderful time. You're in the weeks ahead, you're going to be hearing so much about Greg Laurie coming in and there in June and how God needs everyone at this church to help. Amen. Boy, this is going to be a great crusade. Many are going to be saved in Jesus' name. I love you with all my heart. You pray for me as I pray for you every day. Amen. Lift up and just say, Lord, every person that's attached to Calvary Chapel, the ones that I know, the ones that I don't know, oh, Lord, bless them, protect them, lead them, guide them, bless their homes, fill their children with peace and love. Amen. Pray every day. Prayer is indeed the work. Don't, whatever you do, never, never neglect your prayer time. Never. Don't do that. God's grace is always available. Amen. Let's sing to the Lord. If you need prayer tonight, there'll be people.